Good morning. Beautiful morning in northeastern Ohio. Shall we open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6. We have something of a little interlude in our context here in the subject. In Proverbs 6, verse 1, we're going to look at 1 through 5 this morning. Proverbs 6, 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Bill, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Now, one thing we see about wisdom is the practicality of it. And we've seen the morality of it in the last chapter, and we'll see that again. But also, godliness isn't just the devotional life, but it's the practical life. It's the fulfillment of commitments. And we see here the truth, the point of being surety. Now, that can be good or that can be bad. You can be surety, for instance. Maybe I should define that. Surety, that's where a person is, they're signing an agreement, right? Say you someone doesn't have any credit and you sign for them. And really that, it is totally in your name if you're familiar with that. If you do that, you're the one, the buck will stop with you. You're surety for that. Okay, that's the primary thought of suretyship. You have other suretyship. We're going to look at it by way of illustration where Judah became surety for Benjamin. If Benjamin didn't come back from Egypt, Judah was going to be in his place. So that was a good suretyship. We'll come to that. But this is talking about a suretyship that would be where there is a commitment, but there hasn't been the thought put into it. Maybe it's impulsive action that's behind it. Maybe there's pride behind it. Oh, yeah, I'll help you out, and I have the means, but one doesn't have the means, and then the creditor is knocking on your door, and you can incur great loss. And it can come, as we'll see here, with the words of thy mouth. It can come with a signature. It doesn't say that specifically, but that is sometimes the case with suretyship. So there needs to be due consideration of commitment. And just by way of introduction, look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Just to show you how godliness is something that enters into the practical areas of life. This is a contrast between physical exercise and godliness. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so, wisdom, godliness, is very practical. Now, wisdom, you know, is knowledge applied. And that's in every area of life. And now, if you consider Proverbs chapter 5, now there you have the thought of gross immoral sin, and that's very much condemned, pretty much in all circles. But there are other sins. And these are practical sins, and that's what we're looking at here, where you can make a commitment and not keep it, and you're in trouble with God, and you're in trouble with man. So, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou stricken thine hand with a stranger. So you've entered into a commitment. And the word friend there is neighbor. It doesn't necessarily mean a real bosom buddy, but it's just one that's a neighbor, and you're helping out, okay? beware of that, and this is the warning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. Let's compare some other passages. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15. He that is surety for a stranger. Now we'll come to that in our next phrase in our context. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. And now, there's a lack of knowledge that one can have of another and a danger, therefore, of committing to them. And this is wisdom now. And here's the thought. You know, the Christian, he has a soft heart. He should have a soft heart, right? He has a loving heart. He wants to help a person in need, right? It says that. If you see a brother who has need and you shut up the bowels of your compassion from them, how dwells the love of God in you? And if you have it in your hand and you say, go be warmed and filled, and you don't do anything about it. So there's the temptation in this. And you can have the love, but there is a love, Philippians 1:9, with discernment. You got to have discernment to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And so there's a certain, I don't know if sagacity is the right word, but we want to be able to realize human nature and not be burned. The book of Proverbs is probably the most revealing book in the Bible about true human nature. And we'll see that in the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. It's actually shocking, the things that it says. The wicked, for instance, they're not satisfied as they lay upon their bed until they can come up with a scheme to harm someone. Now, that's sort of unfathomable that a person can be that way. But Proverbs brings that out. Well, this thought of suretyship is, watch out now, there's crooks out there. And they want to take you. And you want to be careful about what commitment you enter into or what agreement, maybe a business partnership. Now, this can happen. In fact, you might recall where Dr. Jack Mitchell, he was a dentist in a dental practice, and he was with a man that didn't know the Lord. And then he, after he was saved, of course, you remember his wife was saved, and he, after he was saved, he realized, well, an unequal yoke doesn't work at all. I got to get out of this yoke. And he did. And he lost everything financially there in the partnership. But he was free. He's free to serve the Lord. So I believe that would be an application of this. You don't want to be in that unequal yoke. You don't want to be in a place where you can be taken. And so don't be surety. Don't sign quickly. Don't quickly agree with somebody who you don't really know them. You don't know their integrity. You don't know if they're going to come through on their part of the bargain, but you're signing that you're going to come through. There's a danger in that. Let's go to Proverbs 17:18. You know, one of the areas you can be burnt is today, in today's world, is these with the telemarketers to make a deal on the phone. You can't read all the fine print when you're on the phone. And there is fine print. And so they won't necessarily follow through with what their commitments are. So I think it's wise not to make any deals on the phone. But notice in Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. Now you notice that he's void of understanding. He doesn't have this wisdom. He's not. Remember, wisdom ponders one's path. Wisdom, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. So it's wise to pray about things, even practical things, and get the peace of God. Get a green light in every other way too. Can I afford this? Can I afford what I'm committing to here? And wait on the Lord. Let's go to another. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 26. 22:26. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them, in other words, you're shaking, you're making an agreement, or of them that are sureties for debts. Now notice that, for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Now, here you see that suretyship can incur great loss, even of necessities. And so, but notice this here, to be a surety for debts. Now the Bible, in fact we'll see more of it in the book of Proverbs, does not advocate debt. And maybe that should be defined, by the way. if you have a mortgage on your house, that isn't debt. You have the equity, right? And that's a commitment, though, and there's a commitment. You know what's happened in our country financially. It happened by greed of people who wanted to give out loans and encourage loans for people who actually couldn't afford those loans. And it's a downward spiral, and it hasn't stopped yet. Well, it's good to live within our means, right? Shortyship is assessing that. And can I handle this? Can I handle this commitment I'm entering into here? And so there's a wisdom in this, a practical wisdom. And let's go to one more here, chapter 20, verse 16. Again, it may incur a loss if something is done like this. And it can be quick, right? It can be, we don't really think it through. There's not a proper evaluation of what we can do or can't do. Proverbs 20:16. I remember that phrase, God leads, Satan rushes. Watch out for the quick deals. Now, I remember years ago, we had a leaky basement. Some of you remember because we were in our basement. there was Ohio State, I can't remember the names. That was the beginning of the basement sealer or whatever. And they guaranteed it now. It was this special J thing on the outside, you know, that would catch the water. And then we decided not to. But if you did it today, there's a special deal. And we turned it down. And then they called up later, we'll give you half price. There's a man in your area today. Well, then I knew they're shady. So you want to be careful of the quick deals, you know, and the pressure sales. There's someone else looking at this car, too. So if you would like to get this car, you need to come in today. That's a typical sales move. You've probably heard it if you're old enough. But let's go to Proverbs 20, verse 16. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. But again, there you see, you can even lose your garment. You can lose everything if you enter into something financially and you can't follow through with that. So there's the negative side. And many times it does involve a separation, particularly if you would enter into a business partnership. You'd want to be very careful about that. And 2 Corinthians 6:14. Well, let's turn to this passage. This has to do with association. And it has several applications, certainly for marriage or even close fellowship or business engagements or commitments. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now that would apply to worship too. What would the sense of worshiping with the unsaved be, engaged in false worship? But certainly in this area too, in the financial area, we want to be careful of the neighbor, be careful of the stranger, and even though maybe we'd want to help them out, we want to have wisdom along that line. Owe no man anything but to love. So it's good to be free, right? Don't want a bunch of strings holding on to you where it's holding you down financially, where you can't be occupied with the things of the Lord. Now, there are good suretyships. I'll give you one that I know of in life, and that was Mr. Thomas or Thompson. What was his name, Nathan? It helped Thomas Solich. Mr. Thomas? Thompson. And he was a Christian and a businessman, and he discerned in Thomas an entrepreneur ability and also godliness, and he funded him in his business. I mean, it wasn't a little bit. It was $50,000, $100,000. I know it was big money, you know, to get the business started. And it took off. And he probably made something from it. But it was a good suretyship because it was with true Christians and it was with wisdom of a man who discerned this is a good investment. So there's such a thing as a wise one. And if you know Thomas, I never knew a better entrepreneur than him and the ability that he has. Well, Mr. Thompson discerned that, but he wouldn't have got off the ground, I don't believe, without that elderly man. He's with the Lord now. Yeah, I think he did that for others too. So there's a good surety set. And we'll come back to that thought. But while we're on the negative, let's follow through with the context here in Proverbs chapter 6. So, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. By the way, did you know that in Ohio a verbal commitment is legally binding? If they give you an estimate, now that's going to be $1,000. Well, I'm sorry, that'll be $2,000. No, they can't charge you more than 10% above that verbal commitment. And here it speaks about the words of your mouth. You make a commitment, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So we want to be careful of what we say. We want to be careful of statements of commitment and be able to pay if we're going to make a commitment. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 8, for instance. Chapter 8 and verse 13. Are we able to pay? Are we willing to pay? We want to weigh all that. Ecclesiastes 8:13. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. That isn't the one. I missed it. Well, it has to do with being able to pay and weighing that before you make the commitment. Okay. Now, you can be taken, and the creditor can be it. You can be in the creditor's hand. The borrower is servant to the lender. So when you make a commitment, keep it. I'll give you an example of a commitment. This is not in the financial area, but when Andy, my son-in-law, he wanted my daughter's hand in marriage, April, okay? And she was a good student, 4.0, and she wanted to get her degree, okay? And then she was only 21, and so I said, oh, I'll go along with that as long as she can finish her college, you know, because it was kind of a little more early than they anticipated. And then one child came, two child came, three child came, four child came. And it didn't happen. And we talked about it. And Andy, he called me up. He said, now I'll follow through with that because we made that commitment. But it's up to you. Would you let us out of that commitment? Well, I respected him for that because it was a commitment, right? You make a commitment, you want to keep your commitment and follow through with it. Otherwise, keep it. Now, if we can't keep it to get out of it, and this is what this following section goes on to say in Proverbs 6, verse 3. Do this now, my son. Deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Now do this now. In other words, okay, you're snared. You made the commitment. You can't keep the commitment. What are you going to do in a situation like that? Do this, my son. Deliver yourself. Free yourself is the word. You go to him and you get things straightened out. And you're come in the hand of thy friend, you're under the power of thy neighbor here. And let's go to Matthew. Here's an example, chapter 5. You know, God is very interested in human relationships and human commitments, and He'll hold us accountable for our commitments. He'll hold us accountable for our vows. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, this is another example. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Now I think that happens. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. Oh, well, are we faithful in other things, in relationships in life? Because maybe God won't hear our prayers and bless us, Malachi 2, unless we are. And so we want to get it right. And so make sure thy friend, importune thy neighbor. So it's a most earnest and humble prayer. In the Hebrew, this thought of humbling thyself is to, you go instantly and entreat. And the Hebrew word is to stamp or to tread thyself. So you let yourself be trampled upon. You're taking wrong. You realize you messed up. And I've found out in life, some Christians don't do that very easily. That doesn't come natural. But sometimes that's necessary, right? And so we do it before God. We better do it before God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We better have many a time where our heart is humbled before Him and we take wrong, right? Because can two walk together unless they be agreed? If there's a disagreement, He's always the one that's right. And so it's good to have that humble attitude before the Lord and to take that lower place and agree with Him. Quickly to agree with Him. Now you notice there's an emphasis upon this. And do this now, my son, deliver thyself. In other words, right away, you want to do this, and as we'll see in the following passage. So this involves a confession that one cannot fulfill the commitment, and he's humbling himself because he's been rash in his suretyship. It's as simple as that. Now, verse 4. Here he talks about how this ought to be done hurriedly. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. I've had people call me years later and apologize for things. That isn't the way to do it. I appreciate that they do that. But you don't want to have a burden hanging over your head for a long time. I need to get that right. No, quickly get it right. And we want to keep short accounts with God, right? And surely we can keep short accounts with man. We don't need any of that. You know, and people live with that type of thing. And that'll keep you from growing spiritually. So give not sleep to thine eyes. Don't delay in making this right is the thought. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10. A little bit later in the context. Well, let me read the context. Verse 6, he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And we'll look at that. But this somewhat parallels to the thought of verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Don't procrastinate on this. Poverty will come. Say, for instance, a person, I've made a commitment. I'm not sure I can fulfill that commitment. I hope I don't get financially snared. Well, you don't wait until you get financially snared, right? You remedy the situation. You do what you can to get out of it, legitimately to get out of it, or your poverty will come, as the passage says there. Verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, thy want as an armed man. Some organizations might be able to live and exist with debt, but you can't as a Christian. And I'm speaking sarcastically. And so we don't want to allow things, allow that weight to be on us like that. And so don't give yourself to quiet or rest until the other has released you from the bail, from the commitment, and from the suretyship. And so in verse 5 he says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Deliver thyself. Tear thyself free like a gazelle who's ensnared. And if you've ever seen an animal trapped, I mean, they'll do whatever they got to do, right? They might chew their foot off to get out of that trap. And so you have to do what you have to do to get out of things. I'm not saying in an illegitimate way, but in a genuine way, humble ourselves and make it right. And so, you know, just like that illustration with Dr. Mitchell, okay, what could he say? I don't think that he said to his partner, now you're not saved and an unequal yoke isn't going to work here. But he got out of it because he understood this won't work. And better quickly than later. And actually, Dr. Crouch did the same thing. I respect him for that. Now, I want to go back to the thought of suretyship in a positive sense, because there are certain commitments that are good when you know you're going to keep them. It's just like a vow in marriage. It's good. A vow, okay, if you're going to keep it. And a vow in the ministry, that's another vow where you're going to serve the Lord your whole life. You know, it's a commitment. Serious. Nothing wrong with doing that if you are going to keep it. And let's look at some illustrations on this. In the book of Philemon, verse 18, this is Paul. And you have a runaway slave, Onesimus. And he came, he ended up in prison where Paul was. Now that was the providence of God. And Paul led him to the Lord. Interesting story. You can't get away from God. And you know the master, Philemon, was a Christian. He's no doubt praying for that runaway slave. And God answered his prayer. I think there's some things behind this. And he ends up with Paul. Paul leads him to the Lord. And this is probably one of the best examples under the sun of a letter that is graciously written. And the wisdom that is in it is amazing. And but notice here in Philemon, verse 18, getting to the thought here of, verse 17, he says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." Receive Onesimus, your runaway slave, as myself. "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." Now that's a good suretyship. So he commits himself. So whatever it costs, I'll pay. I don't. But you owe me your own soul, Philemon. So it's very wisely done, graciously done. But no doubt Paul meant it, right? He'd take that on his account, but he could fulfill it. You might remember the Good Samaritan in the parable there, and how he poured oil in and he took him to the inn and he bound up his wounds, and then he said, "Whatever else it costs to the innkeeper, I'll pay." That was a good suretyship. Here's a man in need and he could do it, and so he made the commitment. But if you're going to make a commitment, you want to keep it, right? That's the point. And let's go to Psalm 119, 122. Psalm 119, verse 122. "Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress thee." Now, what is that? That's a prayer to God to be surety for us. Now, I'm actually going to come back to that thought in a fuller sense, but keep that in mind. You know, you and I were not a very good investment, humanly speaking, maybe, before we were saved. But God was willing to be surety for us. We'll come back to that. Now, I want to look at another example that stands out probably most of all on the human level in the Bible. Genesis 43. You may recall how there was a great famine in the land. It was going to last 7 years. And it extended to the land of Israel. And Jacob and his 12 sons, well, at that time Joseph was down in Egypt, they were beginning to herd also, and they heard that there's grain down in Egypt. And so they went down. You probably know the story if you've read Genesis, and how Joseph disguised himself and spoke roughly and acted like a stranger, and he said that they were spies. And then he put them in prison for a while to test them. And he's seen if their hearts had changed, you know. And this had been, what, many years, a couple decades. And let's see, 17 years, I believe, total. And they had changed. But Joseph, as he accused them of being spies, he bound Simeon and he let them all go. Okay, and then they told him, because he inquired about his father and his brethren, Benjamin. And he said, unless you bring Benjamin here, you're spies. And so, of course, you can imagine Jacob and his reaction. He says that you're going to bring my gray hairs down to Sheol if you do this. And so they waited and they waited and they waited until they needed food again. And so finally it comes to the place where we've got to go down and get food. And Judah steps forward, and we see this in Genesis 43 in verse 9. Verse 8, "Judah said unto Israel, his father, send a lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time." And their father Israel said unto them, "If it must be so, now do this, take of the best of the fruits of the land, your vessels, and carry down the manna present and a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks carried again to your in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send you away your other brother in Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So he's trusting here. He's trusting the Lord, but he's trusting Judah. Judah's a surety here for Benjamin. Now remember, as far as Jacob knew, Joseph was dead. You know, the coat of the many colors dipped in the goat's blood, and how he's bereaved, and that's why he couldn't bear it, you know, because these were both children of Rebekah, right? And so Judah goes down, and I'm just paraphrasing this for time, and as he goes down, and they come before Joseph, and again he disguises himself, and Simeon is released, and he even makes a meal for them. And then as they depart, he puts his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. It's a test. It's a test to see if they had changed. And then he sent his servant and apprehended them, searched them all. He finds the cup in Benjamin's sack, and all they tear their garments, and they say, "We'll be slaves. What can we say? Our iniquity has been found out." They're guilty. They're guilty because of what they did to Joseph. And so they go back, and this is where Joseph says, "No, I fear God. Benjamin, he'll stay here alone. And the rest of you go back to your father." Well, there's the test. Do they care about their father, whose heart they broke? And so notice in Genesis 44, verse 32, Judah makes good on his suretyship. Let's see, 44. In verse 30. "Now therefore, when I come..." I got to back up a little here. Verse 25. "Our father said, 'Go again and buy us a little food.' And we said, 'We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us.' And thy servant, my father, said unto us, 'You know that my wife bare two sons, and the one went out from me. And I said, Surely he's torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if he take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?'" Now that broke the well of tears in Joseph, and he revealed himself. Now, that was a good suretyship. In fact, Judah, you know, he didn't have a very good beginning. Judah excelled those other brethren, even Joseph. "And the scepter shall not depart from Judah." And Judah is a type of Jesus Christ, who became surety for you and I. And we didn't deserve it. And we deserve condemnation. But he's willing to stand in our place and to take our sins. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so, now Judah, he made a commitment. Judah fulfilled the commitment. God blessed him for it. And so we want to be careful about those commitments. We want to mean it. But again, if we consider, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A couple thousand years ago. In fact, it even goes before that, doesn't it? Because it says that Jesus was foreordained to be the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world. So this was always in the mind of God. It's amazing, isn't it? That he was going to die for our sins on that cross. And notice here in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now think about it. The debt was very great. The debt was so huge, you can't even number the sins, right? You can't. There's no way you could pay the debt. You could be in hell for eternity and never pay the debt. And only one person could be surety for you and I to take away the debt of our sins. And when it says that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that's a huge thing. That's an eternal transaction of God that only the spotless Lamb of God, Son of God, could have paid. And he did. And he said, it is finished. And he totally forgives us of the debt, because he became the surety. He paid the debt. He was able to pay it. He was willing to pay it. And so we can thank God for suretyship, can't we? There's a good suretyship. There's a good suretyship of God, of Jesus Christ himself. Now, Job, he felt his need for this. Let's go to Job 17:3. You know, a person has to feel their need for somebody to pay their debt. First, they got to realize their debt, don't they? They have to realize that they're sinners and they are in debt to God who created them, and they're accountable to him. And someday there's a payday. There's no getting around that with God. He's holy and he must judge sin. There's no compromise with it. He can't slide over it. That's what the unsaved would like to say. That's what the false preacher would like to say. God is love. He'll just let you go. There's no payday. There's a payday. It's unavoidable, but we know Jesus paid. And in Job 17:3, lay down now, put in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? Now this is Job, and he realizes he's a bad investment. Here, you have this picture in your mind, don't you, of Job? He's got this disease. He's so swelled up that you can't recognize him, with boils all over him. And he's so swelled that his clothing binds him. So it's a horrible sight. And everybody's forsaken him. And he's lost everything. And all his children died, the whole nine yards, even his wife turned against him. Bad investment, humanly speaking. But what's he looking for? Put me in a stewardship with thee. He's looking for God to be his surety. And that's the hope of man, isn't it? It's a great thing that God will be surety for us who are a very bad investment. But God does it, doesn't he? He purchases souls. He does it in salvation. And it's a great thing when you hear the testimonies of Christians. By the way, you're made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. The slate is totally wiped clean, isn't it? And you're forgiven all trespasses, and he remembers our sins no more. And all means all, that's all means. At Colossians 2:13, we're forgiven all trespasses, past, present, future. The whole debt was paid. Jesus did it all. And so his suretyship and the payment that was made is absolutely complete. It's what you and I rest in. It's the only thing you can rest in, but it's absolute because it's of God. Salvation's of the Lord. And there's no remission of sins without that shedding of blood. But he paid the suretyship. He paid the penalty. Only he could do that. So that's the great application here. I know it's not in our context so much, but then it is on the thought of suretyship. But let me come back to the human element here in a positive sense. Remember Paul, he was willing to be surety for Onesimus, and he meant it, because he knew he was a good investment. And you and I, we make commitments in life, don't we? We make commitments in life. You want to keep your commitments in life. God will hold us accountable for the commitments that we make. And we want to follow through with that. Otherwise, get out of that snare. If you make an agreement, get out of that one. I'm not just talking about financially either. There's moral, spiritual commitments as well in life, aren't there? And so we're committed. We're committed to be faithful in those things. God was committed. We want to be committed. We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be faithful to the commitment to him, don't we? As a Christian, you know, it's not just in salvation, but dedication. You're committing yourself to him. You want to follow him. You want to do his will. It's a great privilege to do so. So may God give us grace not to enter into suretyship unwisely or make commitments unwisely that we don't have the power or even the willingness to keep. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for its wisdom, for the Book of Wisdom. We thank Thee for true suretyship. And we ask, Father, for grace from Thee to glorify Thee in these things in our lives, in the practical areas of wisdom, that we could fulfill relationships and commitments of life before Thee for Thy glory. And help us to walk in the fear of Thee. Help us to be right with Thee in all areas of life. And bless Your word to our hearts today, we pray. And we do thank Thee especially for our surety, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid our debt and who stood in our place completely, that we could have such a great salvation, be free from all debt, and know that we're accepted and nothing to pay, that we were set free. And we thank You for our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.